Gina, and we're coming very close to finishing out not only this chapter, but this series that we've been going through about the parables. And the series has been called Decisions and Consequences, and because through a lot of these parables, what we're finding is that there is a decision that needs to be made by people, and based on your decision, there will be a consequence that results. And we will be seeing a little bit of that today also. So again, we're looking at Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 44 to verse 50. It is on the screen, but you can also look on your phones. You can use the Pew Bible that's in front of you. We'll be reading together. I'll read it out loud and you guys could follow along. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. This is the reading of God's word. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Is there anything in your lives that you could think of that's so important that you're willing to give up everything for it? Again, is there anything in your lives right now that you feel like is so important that you would be willing to give up everything in your life for that thing? When I was in junior high, there was something like that in my life. I don't know if you guys remember or not. Some of you guys maybe weren't even born. But there was a time when computers were sold and it didn't have the ability to make any sound. Maybe it might make some sounds, and the only sounds it might make are like beep, 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 right? But if you wanted actual music or sounds from a video game to come out, you had to buy this thing called a sound card. How many of you guys remember that? So when I was in junior high, I really wanted a sound card. That was something that was so precious and so valuable to me. I really wanted it so I could hear the sounds from the video game that I wanted to play. I was willing to give up everything that I had in my savings to buy that sound card. So I pulled out my savings. All this money that I was saving ever since I was a little kid. I was in junior high by this time. I got all of my savings, and it wasn't enough. I wanted the best sound card. It cost $200 US. I had 100. So I also took my brother's money. I said, it's going to be great. We're going to get sound. He said, really? Okay. So he gave me his money, and I went and bought that sound card. That's just a funny little example of me at one point in my life feeling like this thing is so important to me that I'm willing to give up everything that I have to get that thing. As we've been going through the parables, a theme that's constantly coming up, and even in our parables today, we see it starts off with this idea of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, today's main idea is going to be that the kingdom of heaven is so valuable. It should be something so precious and so important for us that we would be willing to give up everything for it. So the main idea, again, for today is to begin to appreciate more and more the value of the kingdom of heaven. And the way that we're going to talk about that is with 3 points. Number one, great value. Number two, great cost. And number three, ultimate value and cost. All right, again, one more time. Great value, great cost, and then ultimate value and cost. All right, so let's talk about great value. So I want to talk about these parables today. And we've been going through the parables. And again, I want to point out that in each of these parables, it starts off by saying the kingdom of heaven is like. And it begins to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we've been talking about this, but I don't know if I've been really explaining what this kingdom of heaven really is all about. And so if we were to just talk briefly about it, it's God's rule and reign in people's lives. It's the people, it's society, it's our businesses, our schools, our workplaces, being run in a way, even our own hearts, being run in a way that's under God's rule and reign, according to his laws, according to his ways. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is about. And if our God is a great God, if our God is a good God, if our God is a just God, if our God is a gracious God, and we were to apply who God is into everything in our lives, then perhaps our world will really be a better place. And so the kingdom of heaven is a precious thing. It's seeing God's rule and reign in every aspect of our lives. Now, the interesting thing is that for the Jews during this time, they were looking for the kingdom of heaven to come. They were looking to be a part of this final kingdom that was coming, and it's because they were under someone else's rule for a lot of their history. And so they were looking forward to this king to come, and they wanted this king to come and rescue them and establish a kingdom on earth. And they were assuming in their minds that they were already a part of this kingdom. And so it's kind of interesting that they were hearing this kind of message about, you know, this kingdom is coming and it's precious and you need to give everything for it. And they might be thinking, well, we already have it. I mean, we're already going to be a part of the kingdom, right? So it's really interesting that Jesus talks about this. So let's dive into this, to the parable, and just to see a little bit more clearly what's going on here. All right? So let me just read the parables for us. It says in verse 44 to 46, the first two parables, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And now here's the second parable. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." All right, so these two parables, I just want to start off by saying that these two parables have basically the same meaning. It's the idea that the kingdom of heaven is so precious, it's so valuable, that it should be something that we would be willing to give up everything for. Now, the interesting thing, again, as I mentioned before, is that the Jews would have thought, well, we're already going to be a part of this kingdom. Why would we need to give up anything? But that was Jesus' message. And that was his message continually. If you guys remember from back in Matthew chapter 6, which seems like a long time ago, but back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you guys might know this verse. Jesus told the people, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you guys worry about will be added to you, will be given to you." But the important thing is that we need to be seeking the kingdom. Now, I wanted to point out that there are some differences between the first parable and the second parable. The basic message is still there, but there are a couple differences that are there, and I just wanted to point it out to you, and there are some similarities that I need to point out. So first of all, the differences. Number one, one difference is that in the first parable, if you think about it, there's this guy and he finds this treasure. Was he looking for the treasure? It doesn't seem like it. It seems like he just kind of stumbled upon the treasure. Right? So he found a treasure. He was in the field, and he found a treasure. Now, what about the second parable? In the second parable, there's this guy, this merchant, and what does it say? It says he was searching. He was in search of fine pearls. And so we have two different types of people. One person just kind of stumbles upon this treasure and finds it, but it realizes that this is of great value and makes the choice of selling everything he has to get that treasure. In the second instance, there's this guy who's searching with all his might. He's trying to look for some valuable pearl out there. And he's a merchant too, and that's really interesting. So he finds it, he was searching for it, it was deliberate, he finds it, and then he sees that this is so valuable that he sells everything and does the same action. So that's one of the differences. And so for some of us, we might have kind of happened upon Christianity. And for some of us, we're looking for truth. We're really in search for the meaning of life. We're trying to find out, how does anything make sense? But in both cases, what we find is that when you come to realize what the kingdom of heaven is really all about, if you come to realize who God is and what it means to have his rule and reign in our lives, in both cases, we realize, man, this is so precious, precious. I don't know why today I've been having a hard time saying this word. Precious. There's another difference. The other difference is that with the treasure, there's this guy, he sees that there's this treasure in there, and he says, wow, if I can only get that treasure. But what would you need treasure for? If you have treasure, then you might want to use the contents of that treasure to go buy more elaborate things, to maybe have a more comfortable lifestyle. So you would actually use that treasure for something that you could gain, right? But then in this second instance with the pearl, it's really interesting. It says that on finding the one pearl of great value. And so for this merchant, even though he's a guy that sells things, he finds one that is so valuable that he sells everything to get that one thing so that he could sell it again. I'm not sure that's what it's saying. He's actually wanting to hold on to that pearl and say, this is so valuable. Even though my profession is to go sell stuff, I want to hold on to this thing because it's so valuable to me. So those are the differences. Let me just say real quick, an example of something like that for us is maybe for some of us, we feel like some type of antique is so precious that we would just want to buy that without even thinking about wanting to sell it again. For some of us, it might be a painting. For some of us, maybe for a small group of us, it might be a baseball card. For my son, it's a Pokemon card. So those are just some examples of like why we would want to buy something and not think about selling it again. Right? Now, there is a similarity that I want to point out. And in these two verses, you might not necessarily see it at first glance. But as I was looking at the original language, there was something that really stood out to me. One of the similarities are, or one big similarity is that there are four verbs that are used in each passage, in each parable. And it's the same for both. Well, let me make it extremely clear. The first word and the last word are the same words, and then the two words in the middle are synonyms. They mean the same thing, but they use different words. All right. So what are those four words, those four verbs? They are find, leave, sell, and then buy. Find, leave, sell, buy. So in the case of the treasure, this man, he happens to find this treasure, and then there's this little part where it says he covers it back up, and I'll explain that in a moment. But then after that, he leaves. He departs from there, and in his joy, he goes. That's the word that's used in the ESV. He goes, and then he sells all that he has, and then he buys that field, right? And then in the instance with the pearl, he finds the pearl. On finding the pearl, he leaves also, and then he sells everything he has, and then he buys that pearl. So let's think about that a little bit. The idea here is that when you find something and you see that, man, it really is of great value, then you leave for a moment and you take the time to think through, how am I going to get that thing? I really want that thing. That thing is so precious and valuable to me. So there's this moment of leaving and thinking things through and thinking about, how am I going to get that thing? And then you sell everything you have. You get rid of all other things because this one thing is the most important thing. You get rid of everything else in order to buy that one thing. Now, I want to be clear. This idea here is not about us being able to buy ourselves our way into the kingdom. That's not what it's saying. But what it's saying is that it's so precious. Precious. I'm sorry. It's really valuable. And so we'd be willing to give up everything in order to attain that one thing. Now, I want to talk real quickly about this idea of covering up. Why does it mention that the guy that finds the treasure in the field, why does it mention that he has to cover it up and then leave? Well, it's not, I believe, I've looked at different commentaries, I've done my research, I believe it's not because there's some special meaning in the idea of hiding. I think the idea basically is that if you heard this parable back then, during that period of time, you would just understand right away that if you don't hide it again, someone else will come and claim it, and it'll be theirs instead. Just because you found it doesn't necessarily mean it's yours right away, so he has to cover it up. Another reason is that if you don't cover it up and you just discover it, then a person might be like, why was that person in the field in the first place? It might be because he was working for someone. He was doing some farming type of work for a master. And so if he found that treasure, someone could make an argument that that treasure belongs to the master and not to the servant, because the servant was working for the master at that time. And so it's just a cultural thing. So the guy covers it back up. He's finding some way, again, to be able to attain that very precious thing. All right. This idea of giving up everything so that we can attain the kingdom, so that we can be a part of God's kingdom, is not a new idea, especially here in Matthew. Let me read a couple of verses for you guys just to refresh our memories about this idea about giving up everything to be with the Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39 says this, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Here's another verse. Matthew chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. This is when Jesus calls out to the disciples and says, "Follow me." It says this, "Immediately they left their nets and followed him." They left their work and they followed him. And in verse 22, "Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." They left their families. All those things that would be considered very, very precious and valuable in our lives, those are the things that God is calling us to give up. Let me say it in kind of a little bit different way. If there's anything that has more of a priority than God and his kingdom in our lives, then there's an issue there. That is a problem. And so what we're saying by giving it up means that God and his kingdom work, just as Jesus said, seek first his kingdom, God and his kingdom work has to be a top priority in our lives. The disciples later on in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 say, "See, Jesus, we have left everything and followed you." Now, how about us? Can we give up everything and make it a second or third or fourth priority compared to God's kingdom work? Can we give up our houses? A lot of times our houses are a place of comforts where we could get away and dress however we want, and our hair could be done however we want. And ladies, you don't need to put any makeup on. And our houses are a place where we can feel comfortable and we can just do whatever we want. And so when I say, are you able to give up your houses? I'm asking, are you able to give up your comforts for Jesus Christ? Are you able to give up your career? Are you able to give up your goals in life? A lot of times careers are really important for some of us because they give us value, because we're able to achieve something, because we're able to get to that next level, that next position, or because we made it to the top, or we're making a lot of money now. And so it gives us value in our lives. And we set these goals, and we're aiming for those goals. And once we hit those goals, we set another goal, and we keep aiming, because if we're able to reach those goals, it gives us value. Are you able to give up your career? Are you able to give up these goals? Are you able to give up your family? Now, I know that this is a very sensitive subject for some of us, and you may not feel the same about your family as other people in this congregation. But for some of us, our family is a place where we find a lot of security. For some of us, even though we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s, and our parents are still alive, whenever we go and meet with them, we end up being like we were when we were back in our teenage years or when we were in elementary school. I'm like, Mom, stop saying that kind of stuff. Right? For some of us, it's like that. Or we go to our parents' home and sometimes we feel like my parents are going to prepare everything for me so I don't need to get up and do anything. And we become so lazy. Right? For some of us, we're like that. Are we able to give up our families? Give up that kind of security that we feel when we're around them? Are you able to give up your life? Give up control over everything that goes on in your life? Are you able to do that? The message that's coming out today is to give up your kingdom, as we were talking about last week. Give up your kingdom. Give up all the reasons why you live. Let them all become a lower priority compared to living for the kingdom of God. Begin to live for this new purpose in life. Are you willing? Some of us may say yes, but many of us will say no. Why? We come to our second point. Because there's a great cost. It feels like it's such a great cost to give up some of these things in our lives. House, our houses, money, our savings, our retirement, maybe for some of us, our career, our family, your own life. These are all difficult things to give up because they mean a lot to us, because they really do matter to us. They have great value. And all of a sudden, it becomes a competition of what carries more value in your life. Is it the kingdom of heaven, or is it these other things that are in your lives? Now, it would be incorrect of me to say what God is telling us is for you to go and quit all your jobs and come serve in the church. That would be an incorrect idea. So that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it would also be kind of incorrect for me to set up a scenario where I say, if God called you to give up everything for this, because I think God is calling us to give up everything. I think God is calling us to give up all of our ideas about how we interpret this world, about how we're supposed to spend our money, about what our family is supposed to be about. I believe God is calling us to give up all of those things to redefine it according to what God's rule and reign would look like in those things. This means giving up all the reasons why you live in this world and even changing the purpose of why we live our lives, changing the direction of our lives, making decisions based upon this new purpose that God has given to us. Because it's worth it. Because it is extremely valuable. Now, a lot of us here will hear this sermon and you will agree with me. I'm not saying you must agree with me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you already agree with me, right? I'm sure a lot of us agree with what this passage is talking about. But you may follow this statement, I agree with you, with, but it's so hard. Right? If that's you, I mean, can I hear an amen? Do you guys agree with this? Yeah. I agree that the kingdom should be valuable, but it's so hard. Now this is part of the sermon that's really difficult for me to say. Jesus just gave these two parables saying the kingdom of heaven is of great value. And it is something that is greater than anything else in this world. But if you don't see it this way, Jesus goes into the next parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that's cast out, and it gathers all kinds of fish. And the fishermen, they bring it to shore, and they start separating out the fish. They take out all the bad ones, and in the original language, in the Greek, the word bad, you can also translate it rotten, already gone bad. They take those out and they throw it away because they're of no use. And then they keep the good fish and they put it into containers. And Jesus explains it. He says it's the exact same meaning as the parable of the weeds and the wheat. He says that in the end, one day when Jesus Christ returns, there's going to be a separation of people. There will be those people that are called righteous who have put their faith and their hope in Jesus Christ and said, you are the most precious thing in my life. I live for you, Lord Jesus. And then there will be all those people that didn't say that. There will be the separation, and there will be a group of people that will spend eternity with Jesus. And there will be a group of people that are thrown away into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We may respond, I agree, but it's very difficult. And Jesus responds by saying, it's only one way or the other. I want to remind us, going into our third point, about the ultimate value and the ultimate cost. I want to remind us that this kingdom really is of great value. In this kingdom, God gives us a purpose in life. In this kingdom, God accepts us and loves us. In this kingdom, there is peace and freedom. In this kingdom, there's love and grace. In this kingdom, there is justice and righteousness. In the kingdom, the ultimate value that we find is that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are in a relationship with God, our Creator. He is the reason why this kingdom has ultimate value. And if you've forgotten how valuable this is, Christian, if you've forgotten how valuable this kingdom is, then take some time to reflect on the gospel again. Perhaps you could say a prayer like this old song that we used to sing. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Perhaps you could pray a prayer like that. Or in order to capture this this preciousness of the kingdom. Maybe it's not so precious to us anymore because we've forgotten how valuable this gospel message is. And the reason why we forget the gospel message, the value of the gospel message, is because we've forgotten how deep our sin actually goes. And so maybe one of the prayers that we could pray is the same prayer that's found in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Basically, the prayer is saying, show me if there's any sin in me, or show me how deep my sin actually goes. Show me, because the more I know the depth of my sin, the more that I see that I need Jesus in my life. And so perhaps you could pray a prayer like that. I want to share with you that I forget many times. And the kingdom of heaven is not a top priority in my life all the time. It's really easy to make it a second or third or fourth or fifth or the tenth priority, especially when I go home after work and I just want to relax. Especially when I have a disagreement with my wife. Especially when my kids aren't listening to what I'm saying. Especially when I feel like my friends aren't really caring for me. I start to make other things a priority in my life. And I see these other things as more precious and more valuable. I want things to be a certain way, rather than seeing the kingdom of heaven as the most precious thing in my life. Though we may forget how valuable the kingdom of heaven is, there is one who never forgot, and that's Jesus. Jesus, if you think about it, Jesus was in heavenly glory with the Father before he came to this earth. He had everything. He had everything that he needed. But he was willing to give everything up for the kingdom of heaven, for the sake of the kingdom. And then he came down to this earth. He came down, he had nothing. He was born as a poor baby that was born in a manger, in animals' dishes, right? He had to learn, he had to grow, and he had to live a life like a human being. And then when he was baptized, he had another chance to get everything, all of the kingdoms of the world. Satan came to him and he said, I will give you all the kingdoms. I will give you everything, all the kingdoms of the earth. I will give all the glory of all these kingdoms to you if you bow down to me. Jesus had a chance to grasp that and say, yes, I want all of that back. I want it. But he didn't. He was willing to give up everything. And he passed that temptation. He conquered that temptation. He was willing to give up everything, even to the point of dying on the cross, so that the kingdom of heaven can expand. He died on the cross so that when we sinners don't make the kingdom of heaven a priority and we forget the value of the kingdom of heaven, when we sin against God in this way, he died on the cross and shed his blood so that our sins would be forgiven. He took away all of our guilt and placed on us his righteousness. And when that happened, what he was saying was, I'm willing to give up everything so that you can have everything. So put your trust in me. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ today, whether you are a believer or not, if you put your trust in this gospel message again today and see that this kingdom is of great value, Jesus says, I've given everything already to you. You are a precious child of mine. You have my righteousness. You have my comfort. You have my peace. I am working in your life. I will continue to work in your life, and there will be perfection one day. I'm giving everything to you. You might not live a wealthy life. You might not live a great life, but you have me, Jesus says. So this is the greatest news. This is the greatest news that changes our lives. It changes people like a friend of mine who was a drug addict, and he was a drug seller, a drug dealer. He made a lot of money. He had everything. But he chose to give all of that up because he saw the value of the kingdom. It's the kind of message that changes people's lives upside down, that changes worldviews around. It's such a valuable thing. It's the kind of message that sings out loud, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Turn to Jesus today. Make a decision to believe and follow Jesus. I'm going to give a couple of practical application things. I'm just going to run through these. Some things you can do to start to value the kingdom is, I'll make it very practical. Take some time today at our picnic. It seems like it's not raining today, so we can go out there. Take some time today at the picnic to look up at the sky, to look out at the lake, and think about the time that you started to believe in Jesus Christ. Think about what that was like to have that deep relationship with the Lord. Think about that again. Think about how precious that was to you when you first came to believe. Maybe you can also think about what life would have been like if you didn't have the Lord in your life. Well, what kind of life would that be? And how precious it is that you do have a life with the Lord today. Or maybe you could take some time to pray that prayer that I mentioned earlier in Psalm 139. Show me the sins of my heart. Show me how deep my sins go, because I want to see how precious, still having a hard time, how precious your gospel truth is. And if you're not a believer in Jesus yet, maybe you can do a simple prayer just to think about it a little bit and think about, if this is true, that there's nothing more valuable in this world than this kingdom, this relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you can pray a prayer, just a simple prayer, saying, Jesus, save me from everything in my life. You are my only hope. Secondly, if you are appreciating this kingdom, if you are appreciating the value of the kingdom of heaven, perhaps it should drive us to see others come to experience how valuable this thing is. It should drive us to say, look at this pearl that I found. Look at this treasure that I found. I want to share it with you. Perhaps it should drive us to help others seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Perhaps it should cause us to pray, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Perhaps it should give us a desire to see God's truth worked out in every area of our lives. So begin to ask yourself this question. How am I living for the kingdom? How can I make the kingdom a priority in my life? Here's another thing. Be willing to give up everything in your life. How do you do that? Test yourself. Just ask yourself. Every once in a while, just do this fun activity. Am I willing to give this thing up if God asked me to? Am I willing to give up my job if God asked me to? Am I willing to give up my family, my children, my life, if God asks me to? Am I willing? Not will I, because people will say, of course, if God asked me, I would, right? But are you willing? Are you gladly giving it up for him? And just a final thing is, perhaps we can start thinking about how we can repurpose all of our resources, our time, our money, our efforts, our thinking, everything. How can we repurpose all of our resources and make the kingdom a priority? Let's take some time to pray now. And go before the Lord. Whatever God is placing on your heart, maybe it's a prayer of confession and just saying, Lord Jesus, I know I haven't made your kingdom a priority. Forgive me and help me to see once again how precious your kingdom really is. Or maybe your prayer is just, Jesus, save me. You are my only hope. I've tried looking in all other places, but they really don't satisfy me. You are more valuable than anything else. Whatever your prayer might be, take this time to pray now before the Lord. Let's pray together.